Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Dr. Andy Hurst.
Print it on a page or even print it on a screen. God, your word is meant to be lived out in each of our lives. It's not just about how much of the Bible that we get into that matters. It's how much of the Bible that gets into us that makes a difference. So, Lord, this morning, even as we talk about what our kids have talked about all week long, Lord, let your word come alive in us this morning. It's in your name, Jesus, that we pray. Amen. All right, so y'all, this morning, kids, adults, we're going to be talking about how God, our monumental God, how great He is, that He is greater than all things. So this morning, first, there's just four things. First thing is, first truth is that our monumental God is greater than our struggles. Greater than our struggles. Now, this right here, this was one of the pictures that the kids had this week during their Bible study lesson. This is Joseph. You got the pic up there? I'm sorry. You ready? All right, this is one of the pics. And so this is Joseph looking good on the outside, right? But his heart is filled with self-centered pride on the inside. From a distance, when you look at Joseph, things are looking fine. But in reality, Joseph's family system is coming apart at the seams. His father's favoritism and prejudiced preferences had paved the way for a horribly unhealthy attitude to be real in his family. I don't know about you, but family trouble and family struggle is not just for Joseph thousands of years ago. It's for us today. What I know this morning, it's not just Joseph that has struggles. There's not a family here this morning. There's not a person on planet Earth who does not know the reality of struggle. When and if we take the time to be honest, my hunch is all of us have stuff, you know, that looks one way on the outside, but is quite another on the inside. If that fit is you this morning, just know that God, just like He was with Joseph, He'll be with you. Now, by the way, it's easy for us to see and feel the struggles and brokenness of our surrounding culture. We see and feel the consequences of the global pandemic. We see and feel the unprovoked war in Ukraine. We see and feel the soaring cost of gasoline and everything else. I paid $23 for a haircut yesterday. Oh, my word, and I don't even have any hair. Anyway, we see and feel, you know, all the violent stuff in our culture. You know, Uvalde that happened 3 weeks ago. We see it. We feel it. All of those things are indicators of our great struggle out here. But y'all, the struggle is not just real out here. It's real in our kids. It's real in us in here. What we learned from Joseph long ago and what we know from God's word so beautifully sung to us by our kids this morning, this is Psalm 89:2. God's unfailing love will last forever. Forever. That means no matter what you're going through, no matter what your struggle is, that God loves you. There's nothing you can do to make God love you anymore. There's nothing you can do to make God love you any less. God loves you. This morning, our kids have sung it. And this week, they've heard it, and I pray they've received it. But I pray that for us, too, that we have received and we know that God loves us no matter what. Second truth about the greatness of our God is that our monumental God is greater than our circumstances. Now, this is a picture of Joseph in the pit. Joseph's brothers have beat him up. They've thrown him in that pit. Now, does he look downhearted or what? Kids, does he look sad, right? His brothers were willing to let him die in that pit. But instead, they ended up selling him into slavery, which we now know actually ends up, you know, their wickedness actually, that their intention to harm him actually ends up in the salvation of an entire nation and multiple people groups as well. I guess my two questions when I see that pit and see Joseph in that pit is, was God with Joseph, y'all? Was God with Joseph even in that pit? According to what the kids just sang, Joshua 1:9, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Go, go, right? That's God's word. The word of the Lord is that He is with you wherever you go. This is the way the psalmist said it. This is in Psalm 139, King David. King David, maybe he wrote this, but he also sung this. This is Psalm 139, verse 7. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the pits of Sheol, the pits of hell, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your right hand will guide me. Even there your right hand will hold me fast. God is, I don't know if how deep you are or how lost you are, but I know that God is coming to you. He desires to be with you. Second question I have about that pit is God at work in us? Even in our pits, in our lives today. God has made a powerful promise through the Apostle Paul, a promise worth claiming. It's a promise that he made to Paul through Paul, even though Paul had been imprisoned multiple times. He'd been beaten multiple times. He'd been impoverished multiple times. And this is the promise, Romans 8:28. And we know that God works all things together for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. No matter what you're going through right now, God wants to use that thing in your life. So this morning, your circumstances may really stink. Relationally, financially, emotionally. Maybe you really do feel like you are truly in the pits. If that's where you are this morning, please know that that pit, that really yucky, stinky situation you have found yourself in, that is exactly where God wants to meet you. We don't have a God who looks down at us and says, all right, get up, boy. All right, get up, girl. All right, come on, suck it up, get out of there. We don't have a God that does that. We have a God who comes all the way to us, all the way into the pit with us to make his presence, his power, his purpose known in our lives. So I say, come on, Lord, come on, Jesus. Help. We need your help. Third truth about the greatness of our monumental God is that our God, our monumental God, is greater than our sins. Now Joseph is no longer in a pit. Now he is in a prison. And Joseph is in that prison not because of something he's done wrong. Not because of something that he did to deserve to be there. He's in that prison because he's been falsely accused and unjustly sentenced. In fact, truth be told, because of all that suffering that Joseph has been going through, Joseph is truly becoming a humble man of God who does what is right with others and to others, no matter what they do to him. His road to righteousness hasn't been easy. It hasn't always turned out hunky-dory, end of story. There's nothing fun. Look at the picture, right? There's nothing fun about that prison right now in Joseph's life. The Bible says, Romans 3:23, that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Not just Adam and Eve in the garden, not just Joseph's brothers out in the field, but you and me in the LBK, all. You and me in the LBK today, all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've chosen to go our way instead of God's way. We've selfishly put our needs above everybody else's. We've broken God's law. We've made our lives all about us rather than all about Him. We've let our hearts get hard and callous instead of soft and available to God. You see, sin is not just about wrong actions. It's about our wrong relationship. It's about our wrong-heartedness toward God and toward each other. Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death. So the thing we need to know about sin, my sin, your sin, our sin, is that sin always leads to death. Relationally, emotionally, spiritually, personally, to death, destruction. But y'all, here's the rest of Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but, you got the next slide maybe? For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Y'all, it's free, right? It's like music camp. It's like VBS. It's free. Because Jesus so loved us. It is free gift that came at an ultimate price to Jesus as he gave himself for us on the cross. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, For our sake, because he loved us, for our sake, God made him who knew no sin. Jesus was perfect. He didn't deserve to die. He was the perfect Lamb of God. But for our sake, he made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. When Jesus was on the cross, he wasn't there because of his sin. He was there because of our sin. This morning, if you find yourself stuck or isolated in the prison of depression or discouragement or despair, this morning, if you find yourself feeling somehow trapped, well, you know, where the choices you've made in the past are actually controlling and defining everything about your life in the present, then hear and respond by what Jesus did for us 2,000 years ago on that old rugged cross. Finally, this morning, please know that our monumental God is greater than our needs. God sent a warning to Pharaoh in a dream. Kids, y'all remember the dream. It was a dream about fat cows and skinny cows. A dream about abundant harvest and no harvest at all. And the only man in all of Egypt that could interpret Pharaoh's dream was an imprisoned Jewish slave named Joseph. So Joseph, very humbly, I might add, Joseph interprets Pharaoh's dream, and Joseph delivers God's plan, and then Joseph is promoted to the CEO of all of Egypt, and the rest, they say, is history. This is how Genesis chapter 41 describes the deliverance of Joseph. The plan that he had given, right? Y'all remember the plan. The plan was, you got 7 years of blessing, 7 years of famine. So you put all that, you build up escrow, you build up all the surplus. So when the famine comes, you feed the world, right? The plan seemed good to Pharaoh and to all his officials. So Pharaoh asked him, can we find anyone like this man? One in whom the very spirit of God is? Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has made all this known to you, there's no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Y'all, that's Joseph was in the pit. Joseph was in the prison, and now Joseph is the prince. I mean, is that a great story? It's into heaven, because when he was here on earth, he was only in one place and one time, right? He was in Galilee, or he was in Jerusalem, or downtown Nazareth. Population 1,200, I mean, probably 200, I don't know. Jesus ascended into heaven. So at this very moment, he's at the right hand of the Father, bringing our needs to him. Jesus ascended into heaven so that his very Holy Spirit could be poured out on all humanity. Jesus isn't just in one place anymore. Guess where he is? He's wherever his believers and followers are, all over this planet. Jesus, his Spirit, is working and present all over this world. Our monumental God is greater than our needs, because he didn't just come to get us out of prison, he came to give us profound purpose. Jesus didn't just come to get us saved, he came to get us different. Jesus didn't just come to forgive our sin, he came to free us from the power of sin. Jesus didn't just come to get us into heaven someday, he came to get heaven into us today. This morning, do you have a version of God that he's just a monument? Or do you see him as the monumental God that he is? I'm praying this morning for God to not just be a monument to us, but for God to be a monumental God that lives in us. God is not a monument merely to be recognized, but a monumental God to be known and experienced in the core of our being. Our kids, I pray that they didn't just get information in their heads, but they got transformation in their hearts this week. Y'all all know what a monument is, right? I mean, this is the 555 feet tall Washington Monument in D.C. It was built in honor of our nation's first president in 1884. And this is Bunker Hill Monument. It was built in Boston in 1825 to honor and remember the start of the Revolutionary War in 1775. It was built so that we would remember the war that secured our independence from British rule. And this is the Statue of Liberty, which was officially erected as a national monument in 1886 to commemorate the end of the Civil War and the abolition of slavery. If you've ever been to the Statue of Liberty, then you know that down at the feet of the statue are shackles. Broken shackles. And to millions of immigrants arriving in the U.S., the statue stands for hope and new beginnings here in the U.S. Y'all, this morning, kids, parents, grandparents, Christianity is not a mere monument where we commemorate or honor something that God has done in the past. Christianity is a vital, dynamic, life-changing, life-defining relationship with the living God. A monument teaches us, it reminds us about something. But God's monumental love, His Holy Spirit, is something that's inviting us to experience the embrace of God's grace in our lives. God's monumental love for us comes to us wherever we are. No matter where we've been, no matter what we've done, no matter what our circumstances are. And then that love and His very Holy Spirit, His very Spirit takes us where we need to be. All week long, y'all, kids, and the kids can tell me, like all week long, Jesus has been here. All week long when the kids sang praises to God, Jesus was here, because you know what? The Lord inhabits the praises of His people. All week long, Jesus was here when the kids were learning all the things, you know, about God's Word. He was here because He is the living Word. All week long, Jesus was here because He promises wherever two or three are gathered in My name, that's where I am. I think we met that prerequisite. All week long, Jesus was here as the crew leaders love the kids, and the kids love them, and the kids love each other. As we loved each other as Jesus has loved us, He was here because God is love. But y'all, this morning, it's not enough for Jesus to be here. This morning, is Jesus here? Not is He in the house, but is He in your house? This morning, I just want to invite you to pray with me. Y'all bow your heads. Kids, bow your heads. Jesus, this morning, we love You. We need You. This is the prayer we prayed with kids this whole week. Dear Jesus, come into my heart. Come in today. Come in to stay. Jesus, thank You for loving us. Thank You for dying for us. Thank You for rising for us. Thank You for filling us with Your Spirit. Jesus, we belong to You. So this morning, I'm not going to ask you to pray this out loud, but I'm going to ask you to pray it with me. If this is something you want, if you want that, if you want to have more than a monument view of God, and you want to have a monumental experience of God, I invite you, kids, adults, everybody, pray this prayer silently out loud, however you want to pray it. Dear Jesus, come into my heart. Come in today. Come in to stay. Jesus, thank You for loving us. God, we give You all praise for all these children and all their families, Lord. They have been a blessing to us, God. I know You have been a blessing to them. Now, Lord Jesus, what You've done in their heart, Lord, go out and do something in this world through them. They are Your beautiful, precious children. Lord, have Your way in them, for them, with them, and through them. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.